Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, evening, or whatever time it is while you're listening to this podcast. This is Carl, and I'm here with Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
See, I didn't set you up this time. Just need
yeah,
to keep you on
but it's been set up every time since then, so now it's just a thing.
Okay, that's true. And I have, of course, with us, Doc Sludge. Hello, Doc.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Doc,
nice
I have this
have
weird
you.
Formation on my... Oh, wait, no. Wrong kind of Doc, huh?
Yeah.
Well...
Now, Doc, I just before we start, I just want to let everyone know Doc has a new toaster.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to explain that?
Yes, absolutely. I've been driving a Honda Element for the last 10 years. Now, I named my Element the toaster because it looks like a toaster. And this morning, actually last, I've been trying to find a new vehicle, buy a new vehicle, trade this one in. And I found the vehicle and decided to get it. And last night I was having some last minute, I don't know if I really want to do this type things, until I hit a puddle and lost all power to my power steering, sputtered my engine and had all sorts of electrical issues for like 30 seconds. And I went, oh, that's not good. So I ended up coming home with a 2018 Honda Pilot, which looks like a bigger, grumpier, angrier toaster, but it's a lot bigger. And I was thinking maybe I could call it the convection oven and that, like, no, because that's dumb. And then I thought creepy crawler, but that sounds like you're a creepy guy in a van, which I'm just a creepy guy and it's not a van.
Considering anyway. It's a pilot, I think you should call it Amelia.
Yeah, we'll see. So I'm trying to come up with something like monster related or creature, you know, critter, horror movie, something like that. So I'm going to come up with some ideas eventually.
Well, for everyone, if you want to name Doc's new toaster, just let us know. Give us a call or on the DLN, just leave us a message and let's name Doc's toaster.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll do.
Yeah, you can go over to the Facebook page and put in a name for Doc I am Doc. For the new vehicle, and I'll definitely take everything into consideration. Unless it's like really offensive, then it won't be considered. So keep it clean. A little suggestive is okay, but you know, somewhat family friendly.
I say we call it Heat Vision.
Okay.
Actually, if you don't like Amelia, I say Bub. I think it should be Bub.
I have a list of questionable names for my previous vehicle, so.
Oh, so do I. So do I.
Oh, yeah.
So, let us change subjects here to the event at hand, okay? And Rachel has all the blame for this. So she posted when this movie was posted on ISF, she tagged me. I said, well, I guess we're going to do this as a watch.
Because if anybody knows Carl, he is a Zappa fan through and through.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I will tell you a little bit about that before we start. I grew up in a household where all we could listen to was classical music and Broadway. And when I wanted to sow my oats and that sort of thing, the only thing I could do when I was a kid to piss off my parents was to play 20th century classical music. Now, later, I was allowed to listen to rock and roll, and we moved to Bradford. And we bought a music store in 1972, and about four stores down from where we bought the store on West Washington Street was a head shop run by the name of a guy by the name of Jerry O'Wallaby. Now Jerry was the reason I started smoking pot, for one. But also he was the reason specifically for my two favorite groups, one being the Kinks, the other one being Zappa. And 200 Motels was released in 71. It was the second album by Zappa I ever bought. And it is glorious. But it is, imagine today, and this is one thing I want to say to you. Imagine today if you were at a concert and you heard all this type of music out of one band, you know, would that, like, today's audiences, could they even handle it? I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. And you're going to see a lot of weird shit. You're going to hear a lot of weird music, and you're going to see a lot of weird nudity and sexual encounters and various. And one other thing before we start, this was the first movie ever released entirely shot on video and then blown up to 35 millimeter. Okay. And
wow.
That's something also to be said about the film. So I am right. So 200 Motels is available on Amazon Prime. We have, we are basically at 000. And are we all set?
If you give me about 2 seconds, we got to do our countdown. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm finishing the last bit of my movie snack. So I'm grabbing my bowl and running into the room so we can start this shit.
Okay. Oh, what did you have
to
snack? What did you snack on?
I smoked that pork butt this week. So I diced some of that up and fried some garlic in a pan with bacon grease and then threw the pork butt diced up in there with a little bit of soy sauce and some hoisin sauce. And then I served it over what we call my wonton rice because I used this wonton soup base mix as the water for my rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made some poached eggs, and I'm throwing that on top. Maybe a little spicy mayo.
Okay,
that's
a snack? That's fucking dinner.
That's my movie snack.
Oh. All right, wow, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, friggin'-lutely.
Carl knows that I have been – we are ready. We got to do our countdown.
Okay, just to say what you were going to say, I know something, right?
Oh yeah, Carl knows. I've been working on this 9.5-pound pork butt for like half a week, so I've been coming up with some interesting things to do with it lately.
Okay.
All right.
I gotta bring you guys for dinner.
We're gonna start 200 Motels. I'm gonna count down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Okay.
Now? Oh no. Sorry.
Not 10 minutes from now. Now. Okay. Five.
Okay. Yep.
4, 3, 2, 1, go. And the Metro Golden Mayer Lions coming up.
Now,
Mr.
did
Crowley.
You hear that Amazon just bought MGM Studios? I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. And here's the UA, United Artists, that they were the people that originally released this in 1971.
My first job was at the UA Lakewood 8 Movie Theater.
Nice.
Yeah. Not nearly as cool as, like, your drive-in theater job, but I did work in the movies for a time.
Okay. You can see the effects. Now, that is actually the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Yes,
wow.
Pink Moon is in this, by the way. Ringo Starr. Theodore Bickel. Listen to that music.
Wow. You know what? I'm really grooving with the whole... this reminds me of like cable access TV. Back in
yeah.
The, like in the 70s and 80s. Like, this is awesome already. It brings me back to my old college video production days. Nice.
This was co-directed by Zappa and Palmer. Palmer basically edited the film. And that's the one thing about Zappa. He might have been good at editing music, but he was never really good at editing visuals because he didn't know when to stop. Another thing about Zappa is he filmed and recorded everything. Now, here you have Ringo Starr. And the gentleman with the mic is Theodore Bekel, a Jewish entertainer and singer. And he plays a major character called Rance Muhammad. But he was not the first choice of the filmmakers and of Zappa. Do you want to guess who Frank Zappa wanted to play this part?
Rip Torn?
That's not a bad guess. How about you, Rachel?
I actually don't have any good guesses.
Would you believe Christopher Lee?
Really?
Really. But Christopher Lee said no.
Well, I can imagine.
Okay, Keith Moon is the demented nun at the harp.
Yeah.
Rub your magic lamp, people.
He wants me to stuff it up and rub it.
Well, that's why one of his songs is Nanook Rubs It. Theodore Bekel, he was actually in Babylon 5 in an episode. He was Abanova's rabbi. And
there's a lot of camera movement with this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
And that was the tagline of the movie, was touring can make you crazy. Now, that's Frank.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Now, the two singers, Howard Kalin, and I can't think of the other guy's name, were the lead singers from the Turtles.
Well,
and they
nice.
Left the Turtles. And they were also known as the Fluorescent Leech and Eddie.
Oh, wow. That's some really killer names.
Yeah. Now, imagine me playing this album, and my mother is hearing it, okay?
Oh,
she was
Lord.
Not fond of Zappa. I have a story later about that. I'm going to turn up just a little bit.
Dual mic setup with a lot of electrical tape and looks like gaffer's tape. Nice.
Yeah.
One way to do it.
Well, Zappa was very, very technical. He actually designed a number of, or helped design a number of instruments, including the synclavier.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, every singer's got two microphones. Every instrument's got two microphones.
Uh-huh. And, of course, the editing is very, very much a precursor to MTV.
The one guy with the cigarette's like, wait. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Mystery Roach.
Be approaching me.
Mark Bowman, that's the other guy. There is a clip on YouTube of Zappa appearing on What's My Line, and he had just finished the movie, and he talks technically what he did with it, being shot on video, and they were able to do video editing and so on and so forth. But you take a look at this, it looks really good.
It does. It's got that. I love. It's got the like UHF VHF like color feel
yeah.
to it, and how soft the picture. It's gorgeous. I love it.
But imagine Christopher Lee playing that part. It would have been fucking awesome. The guy with the frizzy hair is Don Preston. The other guy with the aeronautic thing is a guy by the name of Martin Lickert. Jeff Simmons had just been fired from the band, and he was a limo driver that just walked on, and he says, "You're in the movie." Frank Zappa said, "You're in the movie," so he's in the movie.
Oh, you can get the soundtrack and vinyl for like $50. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
And I don't see an official Blu-ray release, but there is a DVD.
Yes. Okay, that gentleman right there, Jimmy Carl Black, he's the Indian of the group.
Oh, excuse me.
That's okay.
I've been having a lot of hiccups lately, like literal, large, high-grade, scaring the neighbors type hiccups.
Oh, there's our vacuum cleaner.
I wonder if the vacuum cleaner sucks.
It does.
Did it suck up that lamp and put it in her butt?
Thump, woof.
We'll even take you into a darkened alley.
Well, Frank Zappa is always listening. He's always filming. Which very much was true. Very, very much was true. Very much was true. Now, the thing about, okay, you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, okay.
There he is in the background.
Yep. But Frank was very, very much obsessed with watching and filming and recording. He believed his whole life was what he used to call project objects. And so everything was connected. It was one composition. It was one life. It was one piece. And this was a big thing with him.
Wow.
By the way, the black gentleman there, who in this film is playing brass, but that is George Duke, one of the finest jazz piano players. And had a long, long association with Frank. for many, many years.
Very cool.
You know, over the years, the band would change. The people, you know, I mean, he started recording in the 60s and stopped in the late 80s. But George was there for a good 10, 12 years with him.
So I just have to say that, like, I've never seen before a movie start with an entire scene that's nothing but a fourth wall break. I mean, Deadpool's all about fourth wall breaks, and his movies do start with a general fourth wall break. But this whole scene, that's all it is.
Yeah. Again, my point is, all this music you're listening to, everything, there's not one note that wasn't composed by Zappa.
Well, it's not hard to imagine that.
Well, I mean, think of what musicians have crossed over to 20th century to classical. Or, and there are those that have, you know, Trent Reznor is doing soundtracks and so on and so forth. I mean, it's not that uncommon, but back here in 1971, that was not common. And
yeah, I mentioned Trent Reznor.
Okay, go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Like mentioning, just thinking about Trent Reznor in the 90s and Nine Inch Nails and, you know, Downward Spiral and, you know, Song Closer, I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal. And then he goes to helping compose and put together Disney soundtracks and wins an Oscar. Blows my mind, but I've always known he's capable of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the 100%.
Oh, yeah. And I like Reznor, too. One of the interesting things is, his original album that came out, Freak Out, 1965, was a double album, which was unheard of for a debut. And he hired members of the Los Angeles Philharmonic and threw music in front of them, and they thought this was stupid, right? You know, how can a rock and roll person write music like this? And
right.
And head violinist of it just took one look and like, oh my God, this hippie has really written music. And they didn't, they thought, you know, they could just skate and they had to practice like a motherfucker. This was one of his big things with dealing with orchestras, because he was always, listen to that. God, I'm listening to this, and I don't want to talk anymore.
I mean, why do you think we've been, like, mostly silent? I was supposed to watch this movie beforehand so that I wasn't the noob, so that we could actually make commentary.
I've been so busy
so
this week.
So, Doc, come on, talk to me. What do you think?
Well, I can definitely say do not watch this if you're on any type of mind-altering drugs, because you will be attached to the damn ceiling.
Well,
I think you're supposed to watch this on mind-altering drugs.
Oh, I have seen people watch this on drugs. When I was in college, I was one of the members that would pick the films for the midnight showings at the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford. Every year we did 200 motels, and I can tell you, you'd have 150 students there completely bombed out of their fucking minds watching this movie.
I don't doubt it.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it because of the weirdness and the random factor. It almost feels like Monty Python sketches. Just with how random things are, the random colors, random shouting, it's very, very interesting.
I'm here right now with the double exposures and triple exposures.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. And then the guy looking over at the screen and just, like, sighing, you know.
Centerville! Here we go.
A real nice place to raise your kids up.
Listen to the words and tell me how many towns you know like this.
All of them.
Exactly.
You've reached Perry. It's absolutely paradise. Sorry, I just had a minor bad
yeah.
there for a moment.
Right here.
Churches,
and liquor stores.
Oh, God. This is, I'm really enjoying this because this is seriously bringing me back to my production days in college, because the actual SVHS editing system that we had in the studio, we could pull off effects like this for live TV. It's so like live TV-ish. It's awesome.
So think of this right now. You're watching a ballet.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell, well, sort of. I mean, through the effects,
no,
you can sort of tell. But no,
yeah.
is actually like you see them. Well, as somebody who's done a lot of, like, stage productions and stuff, including a number of musicals under my belt, really every single movement on a set, especially in a piece like this, is super choreographed. It is a dance. Even if it just looks like the people are walking, they're walking in such a way to, like, they've been coached on how to do that. So even if they're not, you know, high kicks and arabesques, it is a beautiful ballet of movement.
Ah, here we have our two groupies.
I get so excited when somebody from a group gets near me. I just, let's say it again. Mufasa. Ooh. Sorry. We were talking about this
okay.
movie soundtracks a minute ago.
What group are you from,
I love
man?
That woman. The blonde, who is that?
I'd have to check. They're not people you know, trust me. But the beauty of this is their faces and that, they're not gorgeous, but they're real, right?
Exactly.
You know,
I swear to God, I know this woman. Like, I know that face. I know that hair. Actually, that's kind of what my hair looks like when it gets real long. But, yeah. I don't know. They're actually convincing characters, at least just in how they look.
Oh, yeah.
And how they talk. We can meet him and find out if he really is perverted. It's like, you crazy bitch, I'm in.
So as you listen to music, listen to all the differences in it. Oh, I love this. Life is a tuna sandwich.
This town is a sealed tuna sandwich. Wow. It's very epic, like very like Lawrence of Arabia right there. Oh, wow. That's funny. There you see the vacuum cleaner, and that's very, oh, wow.
The vacuum cleaner's look of absolute horror as everybody starts spinning around backwards.
Oh, but they can't get out of their town.
No.
But that's okay, because it's got churches and liquor stores, yo. That's all you need, right?
I played in a town called Brunswick, Maryland, and that's what it was. They called it churches, whores, and liquor stores. because it was where the railroad all went together. And so back in the day, it was all churches, liquor stores, and whores.
Yeah, that checks.
Ah, here we go.
I'm a redneck.
Here we have our country and western song.
Yeah, I see that.
And Frank is actually playing the drums. For those that you do not know, he started as a percussionist.
So did Dave Grohl.
Yeah, true.
Really now.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's for our younger viewers who have not discovered the wondrous Nirvana and Foo Fighters.
Or the fact that Dave Grohl is, like, besties with Tenacious D, and he's on all of their albums and in all of their movies.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's one hell of a good guy, too. So that's another positive thing.
And he played the devil.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, he is one of the best Satans ever. Destiny, he plays Satan at the end. He's amazing.
Not all the way through. I will have to see.
You need to watch the end of it. Just the rock off. That's all you have to see.
Nice. That sounds dirty, the rock off. I'm sorry.
Well, get your rock off, okay? You can sit on my face. Where's my waitress?
From Redneck. I think that's my next kid's name.
I'm getting flashbacks to like 70s kid shows right now, like the Electric Company.
No, like Lidsville and H&R Puff and stuff. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the one I'm thinking of? Captain Kangaroo. That's not 70s, so
yes.
I think that was more 80s.
That's actually 60s.
That was 50s.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it? Well, they had reruns when I was a kid.
I grew up with Captain Kangaroo. I loved Captain Kangaroo.
I did, too. I mean, I remember watching, I'm not sure if it was still live when, you know, in the early 80s or if it was reruns by then, but I remember Captain Kangaroo, you know, Romper Room, the Electric Company, Mr. Rogers, of course.
Absolutely.
But I don't think you see this on Mr. Rogers, though.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I love
this
song, by
the
way.
Kind of the Mr. Rogers' kids show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember... I remember Soupy Sales... Well, not so much Soupy Sales, but Chuck McCann on WPIX. Loved him.
I used to do reruns of Soupy Sales shit when I was at the television studio.
Mm-hmm. Man, what?
That's one thing I've always wanted to do is work at a TV studio, just for a little while. I worked at a radio station for about 8 years, but I want to do, like, you know, big broadcast TV to see what I can pull out of the archives. That'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. My first job there was working in the master control tape room. Or actually, no, I was master control first, and then I became the tape room supervisor. But master control and tape room were together in the same, like, closed-off area. We had our own – we called it the fishbowl. It had, like, big, you know, floor-to-ceiling windows so the investors could walk by and see people dutifully minding their stations. But –
you
Okay, very important. Coming up. Listen to this.
Yeah, I am.
Loan me a couple bucks. He wants to get paid. That is the main thing. And that's, of course, you know, if
that's
you're
fair.
Hired in advance, you know, when am I going to get paid?
The imaginary beer he was promised in the beginning of the...
Yes. There is something about foaming liquids that... It's all through this film. There's a scene later with Don Preston. I'm professional, but I'm not that professional. Of course, Jimmy has passed away a number of years ago, actually. Frank is gone. George Duke passed away last year, I think. But most of the people here have passed away now.
Devil's got an English accent. I seen him 3 weeks ago on TV.
Yeah.
Nope.
That was the communist.
No. Did he just pop the devil like a balloon?
Yes.
Yep.
For sure.
Oh, where are you, time? I just screwed up something. What time are you at?
29:47, 48. Oh, buffering.
What?
Oh, no, there we go. 29:50, 51.
29:50.
I'm on
okay, 29. Gotcha.
I'm on 30 minutes.
I'm at 30 now.
Okay, so am I.
Okay, good. Only a couple.
There you go.
Different. 30 seconds.
Okay,
different.
So the film has just basically just broken up. This is 71.
Mm-hmm.
And Ringo signs to do this film. Another
yeah.
thing about Frank, do you know he was very good friends with Mike Nesmith?
No.
From the Monkees?
Not only that, he actually appears in the Monkees movie Head, and was also on the Monkees TV show.
Very cool.
I remember that because I actually loved the Monkees TV show. My mom introduced me to that when I was like right before adolescence. Oh my God, I loved the TV show.
Oh. There are two things. I actually watched that when it was new back in the 60s, but even more importantly, when I was in college, it would run at 8:30, and all of us would gather near a TV, get completely stoned, and go to our first class.
Oh, nice.
I remember watching it as a kid at my grandparents' house on it wasn't Nick at Night, but it was like their version of classic TV. What the hell was that station called? I don't know. But, yeah, this was back in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah, well, there's like TV Land now, and I don't know how long that's been around. But
and then
we didn't
TV.
Even get to it. Oh, yeah, MeTV's on the basic stations. Actually, MeTV comes from the stations I used to work at. Of course, that studio doesn't run anymore, but yeah, the studio I used to work for actually started all of that. They were the ones that bought the WB, or actually, they were the ones that had the WB, and then they bought it out, but.
Okay, so TV Land was created in 1996. So, but this was, I remember watching the Monkees way earlier than that.
PIX had it. A number of stations had it. Was in reruns all over the country. So we're going to switch things here. The music, okay. Now we're into the rock and roll. And one thing about Zappa is he is and always was a control freak. And the idea of these guys playing, imagine the rehearsal. Rehearsals would go 12 hours. And he was, so Dweezil tells a story that he walks down to the rehearsal and Frank is rehearsing and it's loud and that sort of thing. And it's very complicated. He stops the musicians and he points to one and he says, "You missed this and measure such and such," and points to another. And Dweezil says, "How can he even hear that?" But Frank's ear and Frank's ability to really meld ideas and different types of music made him what I consider he's the genius composer of the 20th century. And I would argue, well, I would probably lose, but I would argue that he's the best composer of the 20th century. And I'm putting people in like Bernstein and Stravinsky and Arvo Pärt and that in that mix.
Well, I think I can see where you're coming with that, and yeah, he does have a fantastic ear, and it's hard to conflate the fact that he was in the same century as a lot of these like super famous classical composers, because you'll hear all these guys that were composing music after 1900. But you never hear the community orchestra playing a Zappa piece.
Well, that's changing. He used to complain that the living composer orchestras never played living composers. And nowadays you hear one of the German National Symphony actually did the suite from 200 Motels and had the chorus and everything, did the Centerville thing, did everything. I mean, these days, well, he's dead now, so he's a dead composer, so now they're playing him. But his basic complaint was, while he was living, nobody, he loved orchestras and hated them at the same time because they never gave him enough credit for what he did, or respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of
By the way,
be because
I'm not partial to hats, but if you ever see a hat like that, you can buy it for me.
Okay, let's see what we got here.
Is that basically a derby? Oh, that's a woman's
hat. Yeah, I think
hat.
It's a derby.
British women's. That's a Brit. It looks like a British women's hat from 1960s.
It does. I actually have a gray one very similar to that.
But here you see that this is all that Zappa does. He composes. He's always writing.
Yeah, that's
writing.
What he does in
all movies. Yeah. Redneck Beats.
That's like every single restaurant in my general vicinity.
Well, this is the whole point. He's making
statistical
points about touring and how these towns are.
All exactly the same. Yeah, well, I mean, they spelled it out pretty well in the beginning of the movie. This is what we're going to talk about in this movie, and this is what we're going to be doing, because that's how this goes.
You know what? I literally just found that hat on Amazon.
Oh.
Except for it's got a little bit of it's got like this bow thing, but I think you can probably remove it. for $22.95. It's a women's 1920s vintage Wohlfeld Klach bucket bowler hat.
Yep. I was going to say a bowler, but I guess it's a women's bowler because a men's bowler is usually a little bit shorter on the brim.
Right.
Oh, talk about what unbalanced white balance. Whoa.
Oh, God.
Ah,
that chromosome off the fucking chart. Makes my eyes scream.
Now that, my friends, is Keith Moon.
Oh, God. Blorp.
Imagine showing this to somebody who has no idea what they're getting into. And of course, the two of you,
that would be,
at least.
Yes, I was about to say, do tell us how that is, Carl.
Well, you guys at least had an idea. I did warn you.
The girl wants to fix him some bras. Tinsel cock? What?
Hello.
Tinsel bras.
Some nice soup, small dogs in it.
You're opera. Listening to basically 20th century classical opera music concrete right now.
Yes.
The story is that Frank Zappa, when he was very young, he bought an album by a composer by Edgar Varèse, and it had a major impact. In fact, he wrote to Varèse and wanted to meet him, but never happened. But it did speak to his wife and became friends with his wife. But the one thing about Zappa is you're taking all these separate things like doo-wop, early R&B, 20th century classical, particularly experimental classical, and all this stuff. And one of the things with Zappa, you go to a concert and there'd be versions of Ravel's Bolero that he orchestrated, or Stravinsky, or, you know, all these different things. He had a great love of classical music. And he put all this together with his weird sense of humor, and there's nothing like it. Not even close.
I mean, this is definitely existential AF, dudes. I mean, I'm kind of sorry that I'm not on mind-altering substances watching this right now. Did he have to go to Catholic school as a kid? Because that's the story I hear from everybody that did. Tortured munchkins,
yep.
Being smashed with rulers.
Oh, yeah. I actually used to have a scar from when I got smacked in the neck with a ruler, because at 8 years old, I questioned the fact of tying one's shoes.
Hmm.
Yeah, I basically, I asked a nun, why do I have to learn how to tie my shoes? Because Jesus wore sandals. Whack! Mm.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I'm surprised you didn't get worse than that. Jesus, both my parents have scars from nuns.
I wasn't finished. I got expelled from Catholic school for that question.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think you dodged a bullet there, buddy.
I think so, too. I still don't like nuns. They just grr.
Cardboard boxes, daddy-o.
And then Joy of My Desiring, that's a hymn.
Yeah.
Part of a hymn. It It's a nun suit painted out of small boxes.
There'll be none of that.
No! I used to play this album, which had all this music on it, at the loudest decibel I could get away with. Imagine how much I drove my parents off the charts. Oh,
God,
and
I thought I was a bitch for my Alanis Morissette set.
Okay, the duck. Okay, the duck. If you know anything about the duck, there was a movie and an underground comic called Dirty Duck, and Frank Zappa co-produced it and gave music to the movie. The people who did Dirty Duck did the animation for this film.
Okay. Probably the Catholic store. That's where I used to get my incense like that.
And here you have the basic devil on one shoulder and angel on the other.
The warring consciousness.
Don't rip off the towel!
And now we're back to the after school specials. Conjunction Junction wants your nope. I'm not making fun. I'm actually that's out of pure appreciation. Trust me.
Are you kidding? Those were great, man.
No, I just want to say that I recently went back and rewatched Schoolhouse Rock. Let's just say it does not age well at all. Wow. And in fact, a lot of the stuff that they're teaching about has changed in common knowledge now. So, but yeah, it went into some real racist trope bullshit for a good number of those episodes.
I have million ratings. Okay, I have to
naturally
say something here. I had a friend of mine in college, Bob, and we did comedy routines together. And one of the comedy routines is I was a giant a marijuana cigarette that he would pass around and people would smoke me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You're going to have to tell me more about that later. I'm still trying to envision this.
I have to remember it, too. Trust me on that. Steinberg piano instead of Steinway.
I love that.
Shit beer.
She's snorting beer.
All right. Schmerz.
Well, I was wondering what that was earlier because I saw that's the same beer that they're using in the real life segments too.
Bazaar was the name of his record company, Bazaar/Great Records.
Did you get all that?
I was just about to say thank God to Amazon for having closed captioning and subtitles on, like, literally everything. Including 200 motels, by the way.
Cut out animation. By the way,
like Mike Python.
So Terry Gilliam.
So that's a good
news
call on that.
Actually, hold on. Terry Gilliam knew Zappa and actually was on as a voice on his on Freak Out, his first album. And so you wonder if Terry had any influence. Now, he didn't work on Dirty Duck. He didn't work on this, so probably not. But
so she went from the flying nun to crying nun?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is what it's like every time, you know, people, you know, come down from a trip. Because obviously that whole animated sequence was just a really bad trip. Because this is all about his time on the road. And this happens
right.
So often with famous bands on the road that somebody's, like, freaking out after a, you know, an amazing trip. And they're on their come down and they're like, I'm going to die. Oh, bleh. Like, if you can't tell, I've had to deal with those kind of people before.
Yeah.
She's just, like, so nonchalant. Like, the best I can do is fix your fucking hair for you. Wash the nasty makeup off your face. I'll make you look good for when they find your dead body. There you fucking go. Get over it. Because we've all had that friend that's, like, just the stupid, you know, alcoholic or drug addict that every time they come off of a bad bender, it's like the most dramatic thing in the world, and it's just going to happen again next week. I mean, this scene is actually pretty scathing. As far as the rest of the movie is concerned, it was kind of like, oh, I see where he's going, but...
Well, okay, so one of the things is that Zappa was very anti-drug. Incredibly anti-drug.
See that.
Okay,
and
he threw people out of his band. Jeff Simmons, he threw out because of drug abuse right before the movie was filmed. And it happened a lot. Band members who worked for Zappa have a real respect for him. But many of them didn't like him.
I could see that.
Because,
yeah, control freak, and that's probably why he was so anti-drugs, is because that's when people lose control, and he's illustrating that a lot with the people in this movie. Like,
oh,
the ones who've...
And, of course... Keith Moon, what, 6 years later, dies of a drug overdose.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, too, is that the nudity in this scene is very just matter of fact.
It is. It's very organic nudity. It's not sexualized in any sense. I was actually going to mention that because I hate movies that have nudity for nudity's sake. That was just like really organic because, you know, we've all been hanging around with our friends and getting ready to do shit, and especially like if you're, you know, backstage, like they were, you know, getting ready for their next big dance number in the movie or whatever. Like you're in various states of undress, and you really don't fucking care. You're doing your thing. It's professional. You're not there to, you know, be naked in front of each other.
Wee wee.
Wild drum lick. Love that. You mean to be
Now we get into my favorite song that I used to drive my mother crazy with, Penis Dimension.
There could be a lot of jokes produced about that.
I'm sure there have been. I'm just like so weirdly, I cannot take my eyes away from this weird train wreck of a penis conversation. Penis. Penis.
Caca.
Caca. Ooh, that's awful too.
Medicinal pen.
Now,
penis.
Now take a look at the faces of the people behind them, particularly the orchestra.
They are cracking the fuck
up. What
the
fuck is going on?
Like, yeah, they try to keep it straight, and then they say something stupid, and then everybody in the background starts breaking up.
See that woman behind
the background? Yeah, she's horrified.
Yeah. And she's one of the singers.
Like, what the fuck is going on around here, man?
God, she looks way underage, too. What she's really thinking is, what the fuck did my mother get me into? It's his hand. She said, I know what's in his pants. He's a lonely guy. His hand.
A lonely guy.
And the orchestra is just like professional as fuck. Just, Because, dude, when you play in an orchestra like that, like, I've been to so many shows of my mom's like that when I was a kid. It's, like, the weirdest shit that they want an orchestra for in the background. And they all just sit there, and they're just like Burton Redneck. When am I getting paid? Or usually
yeah, exactly.
With an orchestra. It's like, I've already been paid for this. I'll do what the fuck ever.
Again, the music. I just absolutely just am in awe of this soundtrack. And Bowman's now in a bra. Never mind. And Ku Klux Klan members.
Oh, Jesus.
They're all in a fog at the moment. Okay, so are they heading to Frankenstein Castle with all those torches, or are they hunting the Wolfman?
I have no fucking clue. Of your cock.
Mm-hmm.
and you have that 20th century, then you go to blah, 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 blah. It's like, what? Okay, kids, are we okay? Are we okay?
Processing?
Currently processing. Currently processing the overload of data. Doc.exe
Will Robinson, danger, Will Robinson, danger!
Rebooting system. System successfully rebooted. So, anybody going to order pizza?
Yeah, it's still processing.
You may be processing till tomorrow morning. I'm just letting you know. Gunzo. And I would play this song, and my mother would hear it. I'm just letting you know.
And everybody in the scene is looking around like, I don't know where the hell I am.
Okay, we're back to rock and roll. Processing should be done now.
Yeah, cool, because that whole sex talk with the Ku Klux Klan thing, fuck you for making me watch that.
Sorry, I did try to warn you.
Inflatable swoosh.
Hammond organ. And that's one thing about Frank. He conducts everything. I saw him 5 times with 5 different bands. And he'd get out in front of the band and conduct. He wouldn't play at certain points. Always in control.
Which is strange because he makes such a big production of seeming like he's not in control of anything.
Oh, but he was. Everything that he could control, he controlled. And you can see some of the manuscript there.
Yeah, he had in the background of some of his other scenes.
Mm-hmm. And look at that manuscript. That manuscript is absolutely pristine and handwritten.
Mime is a horrible thing to waste.
Yep.
Yeah. So do you think that a mime would be like the fast food for cannibals because they always come stuck in a box?
Maybe.
Oh, I like that one.
I do like that one.
Well done, Rachel. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, because I was initially thinking about that, you know, why don't cannibals eat clowns because they taste funny? And I was like, does a mime really count as a clown? What would a mime taste like to a cannibal if clowns tasted funny? And this is me without my adultery.
Probably would develop silent but deadly after eating a mime.
Right.
Silent but deadly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Zappa might have appreciated that in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, pork butt rice and poached eggs makes a really good movie snack.
Oh, provocative squats now.
Because that's how I always get ready.
What's
just
the point,
so you know.
Sound effect?
This is accurate as fuck. That's what us girls do before we actually turn into women. We spend the first half of our life perfecting our morning dance routine.
Even with the blinking noises?
Absolutely.
Nice.
What you don't know is that we actually come with our own soundtracks.
That's totally amazing.
But you know what? Everyone has their own soundtrack. Seriously, over the years.
Oh,
you develop it. I don't think you're born with it, but you develop. This is part of my soundtrack, by far.
Including the blinking noises?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And you can see the orchestra members are still just like, what the fuck? We're still
yeah.
getting paid to be here. Are they miming her to orgasm? Like, what is going on?
Something like that.
Here?
I don't know.
God, I wouldn't want to be pushed like that by a mime. Oh, ugh. Yucky, yucky poo.
Just remember, a mime is a terrible thing to waste.
I think they could.
That's
and
why you don't kill them.
Possibly taste, but we haven't figured that out yet. And it's a movie like this where you don't envy any of the first chairs in the orchestra because they're
no,
all the ones
don't.
That have, like, the front row bird's eye view of this fucking insanity.
But, you know, over the years, There have been composers like Zappa who came from popular music, quote, pop or rock, who are now at least considered a real classical composer. You will go to concerts now, of symphony concerts, and hear Zappa. Another one who is doing extremely well these days is Stuart Copeland from The Police. He's written three operas, miniature operas, and he just premiered at London his percussion concerto. So, I mean, there are those that do it.
Who was the guy that did the soundtrack for the Disney movie Tarzan?
Phil Collins?
Harold Ashman did the songs, at least.
Okay, because I thought that... I thought it was Phil Collins that did most of that.
Yeah, I think it was Phil Collins.
For Tarzan, yeah. And he's done a lot more stuff like that with his career, and he came from pop beginnings, so.
Right. Yeah, but you know, doing something for Disney, you know, and we could say Randy Newman, too, is a little different than doing something that's actually in a concert hall. Newman, at least, did several soundtracks and that.
Yeah, I am just not a Newman fan at all.
I love Randy Newman. Fucking love Randy Newman.
Also, look at the Knights of Oingo Boingo. They did a soundtrack, too.
Oh, yeah.
Forbidden Zone.
Danny Elfman. Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay, well, Danny Elfman is kind of like major as far as that is concerned. I mean,
he's
involved in, like, every fucking thing.
And there's Zappa again conducting.
Yep.
Yeah, by the way, did I mention this is not politically correct? Did I mention
that?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure that people knew that. So how many times have you seen this posted at ISF, Rachel? I see it at least once every week or two.
Well, I probably don't get as many of the posts as you do because you're an admin and I'm just on there.
Right.
So I actually do miss a lot of stuff, not intentionally, but actively miss a lot of stuff. So I've only seen it a few times. I mean, I finally stopped seeing so much Zardoz, but now it's its own entity. It's going to be mentioned on every single post ever.
Oh, absolutely. It's Zardoz should. We're going to do a watch of Zardoz at one point or another, without a fucking doubt.
That's good, because confession time, I've never actually seen it.
Oh, I think we have something ready to go. I'll see if I can find it.
I've seen parts of it.
Oh, man. Neither of you have seen Zardoz? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Parts of it.
Good Lord. Hold on.
Well, you can rent it on Prime for $3.99.
Okay. Where's my Just Watch? I'm looking for my Just Watch right now, and I can't seem to find it.
Yeah, sorry, I'm on the laptop back here, so I don't have all that pulled up.
Mm-hmm. I'll find it later.
Yeah. I mean, he was all anti-drug, but he was definitely pro-vagina.
No, absolutely. He, so the new, the one that Alex Winter did, documentary called Zappa, which I've not seen yet, but Zappa has said in interviews that he was absolutely fascinated by sexual, the sexual contact he would see his band members in and that sort of thing. And he certainly, you know, hit the groupies too. There's no doubt about it.
Well, yeah.
But of course, this, you know, if you're in a band
and you know, and you're touring, you know, what do you expect? Of course they're going to go, you know, they're looking to get laid. You know, not only the band members, but the groupies, but the roadies, everybody. And, of course, he's doing this as a race, which, of course, makes sense.
Ugh. If you've ever worked at a bar or a liquor store, that's exactly what it's like when it's opening time.
Yeah. And this isn't the only album to really talk about groupies and that. This was a huge thing with Zappa all the way through. Joe's Garage has a lot of it. Chunker's Revenge has a number of things about groupies. I had a wonderful encounter when I was in Fresno. The local vinyl store had a Zappa day, and Pamela Sarbuca, who is actually in this film, was one of the panelists. And she was also in a documentary called Groupies. And I got to sit down and talk to her for a little bit about her time with Zappa. And that was very, very interesting. Love that, that it had some middle finger sticking out.
Is that a vibrator?
Yeah.
Okay. Just double checking.
Yep. There's that.
I still haven't figured out the frog head thing. I've seen this movie hundreds of times. I still don't get the frog head. Okay, are we still processing, guys?
Not really.
Working on it? It's...
I had a temporary brain shut off there for a minute, but yeah, it's all good.
I mean, it's hard to figure out if they're fucking or fighting. I just don't even know at this point.
Probably both. Theodore Becal just looking at it like, okay, I've been hired. I'll play this character. So the interesting thing is, the thing I do like about this film, and particularly growing up in the 70s, is that the idea of beauty was different than it is now. Right? I mean, for me, looking at, oh, this is Don Preston and the Foaming Liquids. The look of the women was much more natural, which I much prefer. Am I wrong about that? You know, I mean, Rachel, in your terms, being a female, we should probably hear from you on this.
Absolutely not. I mean, like I was saying earlier, like, I swear to God, I knew that actress because she just looks like a bunch of people I know.
Yeah. Don Preston was the pianist at the time that this was done. And Don is still recording and he records very much third string jazz now. Very unusual stuff. And I like his stuff too.
You existential jazz monster.
Now, when you're saying third, you said third string jazz. Now, what would like Sun Ra be considered?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sun Ra is there. Sun Ra is
okay.
Third string. He also has a lot
right.
of funk in it, too. But, yeah.
Right.
And this is a big thing, too, because a lot of the band members who were under Zappa wanted to make it big. And so that was a huge thing, that they wanted to leave and start their own bands. A number of them did, but a number of them, most of them didn't work out. I mean, there's a couple that really broke through, like Steve Vai, and a couple others, George Duke, who's the drummer who did Missing Persons. I can't think of his name right now, but several of them. However, none of these people did really. Fluorescent Leech and Eddie had some albums, but they were never really big. They were good, though. The one nice thing I like about Preston in this scene is he's doing the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, which I really
yeah.
like, and he does it. I think he does it well.
I love that shirt. Wow.
Yeah. And of course, again, take a look at the attitude here on drugs. It's not good.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
And I'm not wearing any pants.
Any idea when we're going to get paid for this? Okay, so how many of you want to be cast as the vacuum cleaner?
I mean, does he get to drink real beer or is it the imaginary beer? 'Cause
I think it's the imaginary beer.
And I'll pass.
I guess. I see you.
Yeah. And of course, that's the big thing. Zappa's eye. He sees everything. You know, that's one thing. If you're paranoid, don't be in Zappa's band.
Yeah, because he's definitely more paranoid than you.
Yeah. So, Doc, what is happening here as far as the visual effects? How are they doing now?
There's a filter that I don't remember what it's called, but I remember putting in when I was in the control room, basically you would hit a button and it would just start a little bit of the effect, and you could use a little joystick to make the effect spread to any direction you wanted to, and then you could tweak it to some knobs. I don't remember what it's called, but I used to do this all the time. But it's being a little overdone.
Well, you know, I mean, that's one thing about this film. There is excess to it. And if you think there's excess to this, you should try his other film. Oh, what's the other film named? Okay, I can't remember.
Pass.
Donovan, Baby Snakes. It's the other film, which is a three-hour film like this, as opposed to 90 minutes. Yes, we're on the fringe of audience comprehension for the whole movie.
He's throwing a tantrum, and it's
I'm stealing the film!
Yeah. That's a rather large hand. I have to hand it to you, kid.
Yeah, listen to that music. Seriously. And if you think that sounds chaotic, it's not. That is so controlled, it's not even funny.
Well, absolutely.
Ah, and here we are at the end of the movie, people.
Ah.
And my favorite song, the song is called Strictly Genteel. By the way, I love his voice. So what do you guys think of the music here, this song?
Sounds
very
excellent.
Much like
sounds
the
epic.
End of a movie song. Yes, epic. I mean, it does sound like the final chorus of a musical.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you guys know that Frank Zappa wrote a Broadway show that never aired? Never was, I think it had three previews in Boston was banned. Seriously. It was called Thing Fish.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
I'm just standing here with my paper cup.
Everybody still looks really confused.
Lord have mercy on them. Feeds and faggots.
Those faggots. And the dykes and the weird and the little children, they grow. Like, what the fuck?
I love this song. I love this song. That's the cow. Look at the cow.
Cow?
Bakel. Theodore Bakel. Ran.
Oh, I thought you said the cow. I'm like, where the hell is the cow? I don't see this cow.
I didn't either see a cow. I was like, what?
I said Bakel. Benediction.
Come on.
Rance Muhammad's colonics.
Listen to that voice, man. He could sing.
So these two main singers, Mark Bowman and Howard Kalin, were from the Turtles. Can you imagine going from the Turtles to this group?
Okay.
Happy Together to this. Not getting any replies here. Hello, guys.
Hello, hello.
I'm just kind of sitting here slack-jawed.
Yeah, I am.
I'm trying to hold together what I'm going to say at the end of this movie.
Well, we'll have a couple minutes before this is almost over, so. Imagine being the editor of this.
Jesus Christ, did they actually have one of those?
Oh, yeah. That was Tony Palmer.
Okay.
You go from rock and roll to this. He's making me do this. The orchestra's going crazy. Everyone's going nuts. God help you if you're epileptic.
Oh, there it is.
That was a thing.
Before
Cal Shenko did the production design, also did several of the album covers for Zappa. Wonderful artist.
To me, honest to God, that just felt ridiculously self-indulgent.
And of course, everyone, there's several people that agree with you. Without a doubt, he was incredibly self-indulgent. I don't disagree with that, actually.
Okay. Boy, do I have something to say about this one. Let's take a moment to seriously analyze ADHD. Now, ADHD is usually treated by giving a child like myself a stimulant, a.k.a. Ritalin or whatever back in the day that was considered to be like speed. Basically giving the basically chopped down version of it is to keep the child with ADHD under control, you give them speed and it slows them down. I want to know what the hell they gave a child with ADHD to come up with this. I'd give it for example. This is like a child with ADHD's brain going a billion miles an hour, faster than usual, with a little bit of acid, and crazy-ass music. And I'm speaking from experience with ADHD because I grew up with it.
Holy shit, that was
insane. That was nuts. I loved it, but holy shit. Even my brain was going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, too much.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, though.
Like I said earlier, I am really thankful for subtitles because that had so much, like, noise all at once that there were times I had to take a break from the noise and just, like, read what was happening because that, like, stimulates me. It overstimulates me, and I'm like, ah! And there's flashing lights and weirdness.
So do you think you both survived? Is this like, oh my God, I survived it. Oh my God, thank God this is over. Is that sort of the feeling?
My brain is physically latched to the ceiling and twitching right now, while my body is on the floor going, oh, I just watched something.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, like, go watch The Pianist or Schindler's List or something to calm down after that.
Oh, Schindler's List is too hardcore, too much. Oh, no. Oh, yow.
Oh, Jesus, I had a friend recently looking for some new strange kind of horror films and, like, you know, scary kind of weird films. And the first place Travis went, he was like, in a glass coffin.
No, in a glass cage. In a glass cage.
Yeah, in a glass cage.
No.
I was like, you fucking went there? Like, that's where you had to go, just, like, straight off the tee? Wow. You hate them? So, yeah. I'm going to have to go watch something like that to chill out after this movie. Wow.
So, Rachel, would you say you liked it or didn't like it, or?
I did not like it one bit. No.
And tell us why.
There was just a whole lot for me that was wrong with it, and not, like, you know, the politically correct thing, but there was a lot that was very intentionally uncomfortable. And like I said, it felt really, really self-indulgent and really fucking preachy, okay? We can't deny that he was flat out saying, you know, I'm going to give you the benediction on this holy fucking movie I just made, okay? I'm sorry, but when directors feel like that about themselves, they give themselves carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they want, whether it makes sense or not. And
right. Not
everything has to make sense, but there has to be at least some sort of cohesion.
And there's no cohesion.
No cohesion.
I would agree with that, too. My counterargument to that is very simple, is as you go into Zappa's, you know, works and of war, there's something very controlled about what he's saying, and no matter visually, he was never controlled. Musically, he was. As I said, his other films that are not concert films are unwatchable. This is the only one that's watchable. Okay, so I agree with you on that, but the music is absolutely just incredibly amazing. I mean, and I take it from a musical perspective, being a real musician, you know, church musician and that.
From a musician standpoint, I can understand, like, how you like and respect that movie, but if you're asking me, who is not a professional musician, how I felt about that as a film, like, I would hardly call it that.
Yeah, and I don't think you're wrong. I mean, actually, don't
I
think
really
you're
like
wrong. It. Yeah, I don't think you're wrong at all.
Can I
go ahead, Don?
Can I pop in? I absolutely agree with Rachel on this. it really wasn't much of a film, except for the whole getting paid part, which is kind of running. I noticed was a running thing through it.
Yeah,
but the only
funny.
Reason why I, there's a few reasons why I liked it. The complete and utter chaos, the 70s of it, and just the amount of production work that went into editing the lousy special effects and just the amount of work that they put into it made me just go, wow. But I agree with Rachel for the rest of it. The rest of it's kind of like, it's okay. Would I ever watch it again? Probably not. But the production, yes, that was impressive. To me, at least.
Yeah, I think in many, many ways, you've got a musician, an artist, Frank Zappa, who's very much has a cult, of which I am definitely
yes.
a member. No question.
Yes.
The thing that I love about Frank is he gave no fucks. You got to admit that, man. There's no one more punk than Frank Zappa. And both you and I love punk music, Rach.
Yeah.
But the attitude is there. He gives no fucks. He doesn't care what you think. He
oh,
seriously
exactly.
does not. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's why he doesn't care if I like it or not. And so I have no problem saying I'm not a fan. Not at all. But,
no.
You know, you do you, man. And if you like it, that's fine by me. Like, not my thing, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was the 15-year-old in me, part of it, okay? But the other thing was the music. I listened to that, and I'm just absolutely floored about all the music being so many different stylisms. And it all fits together in a way that makes sense to me. Well, it doesn't make sense to everybody, and I'll be the first to admit that. But to me, it makes sense. I can see the threads throughout everything. And that goes through everything that he's done over the years. And of course, if you know anything about Zappa, there is a vault of unreleased material. In the last 10 years, they've released 30-some albums. They've got another 40 or 50 that they're going to be doing. Of live stuff and recorded stuff that was never released, and things like that. I mean, there's just so much out there. The man has an output that nobody even comes close to. They're still talking about 200, 300 hours worth of recordings and music that have not been released.
Yeah.
It's insane. You know, and the man was so driven that he didn't care about making sense in terms visually, that sort of thing. And I think part of that, too, is something that at least I can appreciate. But I'll be the first one to admit, it's not for everyone, not even close.
I can tell you from all the editors, from the video editing experience that I have, the editor on this film must have looked at Zappa and said, are you fucking crazy? I can guarantee you he said that multiple times, multiple days.
Yeah.
Because that was insane editing.
Well, let me put it this way. Tony Palmer, who did the editing and gets co-directing credit, was brought in by MGM and basically told, control him. And he did the best he could. And it is the only film of Zappa that is anywhere near approachable. Okay? Think about that for a second. He did a 3-hour film that is absolutely unwatchable. Seriously, unwatchable.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
You know, so we just got the 90 seconds. I want to thank everyone for being with us. On Monday, we have Mark Scheffler, and Mark is going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about Paul Mooney. And on Tuesday, do you want to say real quick, Rachel, what we're doing Tuesday?
Cover songs that are better than the original.
And that's something you've been wanting to do for quite a while, right?
Yes, many years, in fact.
Well, good. So join us for those two shows, and we'll be doing a lot more. There's a lot more in the pot bubbling, but not ready to release yet, but we'll get there. And again, thank you very, very much for putting up with us, and I really want to give both of you a real thanks for this, because I know this one was a little weird and a little tough. And I appreciate both of you being with me on today. Otherwise, you would only get one point of view, which isn't correct. You always need a separate point of view.
Oh, I thought you said
so
we were wrong.
So 10 seconds, people.
Good.
So why don't we say just good night. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good night. Good
night, everybody.
To love your face, Carl. Bye.
Love your face, too, sweetie. Thanks.
Bye, everybody. Love both your faces.
Bye.
Ow.
Bye.